This is KABF in Little Rock, 88.3, the voice of the people in Central Arkansas. It's time for Radio Cals, a weekly program from the Central Arkansas Library System. Every Wednesday from 6 to 6:30 p.m. here on KABF 88.3 FM, we'll share with you conversations with interesting Arkansans on primary sources, chewing the fat with Rex and Paul, and much, much more. We invite you to let us know what else you want to hear by contacting us at radiocals@cals.org. This program is presented by the Butler Center for Arkansas Studies and the CALS Communications and Public Relations Department. For more information about Radio CALS, please visit the Butler Center's blog at butlercenter.org.
It's time for Chewing the Fat with Rex and Paul, a regular feature on Radio CALS. That's Rex Nelson, who is senior editor and columnist for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette and who writes the food blog Southern Fried, and Paul Austin, who is the executive director of the Arkansas Humanities Council, talking about Arkansas food, festivals, and folks.
And it's time for another edition of Chewing the Fat. I'm Rex.
And I'm Paul. Now, Rex, I have gifts.
Gifts?
Well, so my mother, Josh and Candace and Wyatt, went through Imboden last Friday.
Is that where you're from, by the way?
I'm from Imboden,
oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. Arkansas, yeah.
Just clarifying that on the front
end. Spring River, Lawrence County. So they went to visit the relatives and then came down Friday. But mother said, now I've made some elderberry jelly.
Oh, my gosh.
And I've got some for Rex.
How actually, wonderful. Thank you. For Rex,
for
it
Rex.
Even says.
That's right.
From Willie Austin's kitchen. I love it.
Yeah, great.
Thank you very much.
So I said, now, mother, where are y'all getting your elderberries? She said, well, out on Jimmy Jones's place. He's got some on the fence row there. And she told me how they do it, which I didn't remember this. She said, you can't pick the elderberries. It's difficult because they're so fragile. They just squirt out into nothingness.
Mm-hmm.
So what they do is they take pruning scissors, shears, and cut off branches full of these berries and then put them in the freezer and freeze the branches with the berries.
Oh, my goodness.
And then once they're frozen, they just break off the berries. And
have the branches frozen and all. I've never heard of such.
I've never heard of such a thing.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting.
And, of course, elderberry wine is a classic wine.
Oh, absolutely.
Country folks, for sure.
Yep. Well, I will look forward to trying that.
So we have some elderberry. And she wrote on it because she was afraid I would steal it, which I, of course, would have.
Yeah.
But I have some, so don't worry about that.
Now, one of these years, one of the festivals we haven't done, now you may have done it by yourself, but together, though, is we've got to get down to El Dorado for the Mayhaw Festival that they have down there.
Yeah.
And our friend Cheryl Johnson has gotten me Mayhaw jelly before. And
I've
it's very
that.
Good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know,
grows wild down in South Arkansas, swampy areas.
Yeah, I used to see it a lot. Of course, I'm a city boy now, so I don't get anywhere to see it. It could still be there. But,
right.
Well, we've got a lot of festivals to see. You know, we've got to do the Chocolate Roll Festival.
In Searcy County?
Searcy
Absolutely.
County. There That's another one.
There are a lot of events yet to be explored, I must say.
Absolutely.
Since we last taped, of course, we hooked up with those renowned scholars, David Strickland and Mark Crisp. We did the Camden Expedition.
We did the Camden Expedition. Had a great time.
Yeah.
Pretty much
recreated the Camden Expedition. Of course, we didn't march for days.
No,
we're not those kind of reenactors. We drove a lot of the route.
No bayoneting. None of that. That's right. No mules.
No. But we started our day down in Clark County, and Mark had wanted to find where a small skirmish was, and he said there was a big spring right by Terre Noire Creek. Well, I said, that's got to be the old Davidson Campground, which we talked about in a recent show since we went to the camp meeting. So we went back there just to mark the spot where the Civil War skirmish was. And after having been there when those 100-plus cabins were full, it was almost kind of ghostly, wasn't
completely
it?
Completely empty.
Yeah,
it was completely empty. It was really eerie, actually. But you could see the ground where that battle was, and that was... Where is that, 20 miles maybe from Arkadelphia?
About 15.
15 miles, yeah.
And, so there was a skirmish there, and then we went over to Okolona, where there was another skirmish. The locals, and, you know, the Clark County Historical Association has a marker up refer to it as the Battle of the Bees. Our friend Mark Crist has his doubts about that, since there's only one source for that, not two. But there was indeed a big skirmish there, and he said that he read us accounts of a ravine, and he said that ground is almost perfectly preserved.
And you could really see it, too.
You could.
It's still well preserved, actually. You can see the ravine and small little valley down there. It just, you can just imagine how it was. Now, I'm a little disappointed in some of the documentation down there because we've had battles and skirmishes. I think the next effort is to document arguments. I think there were several arguments that had happened.
Yeah, probably a duel or two
Duel, some bad words. I think a nice historical marker on bad words we had here.
Yes, yes. Of course, you and I, being old basketball fans, we were kind of disappointed that the Ricky Norton boyhood home is not marked there in Oklahoma.
The greatest shooter
I've said
in
before,
the
best shooter I've ever seen in high school basketball. Yeah.
We used to call them redliners.
Yeah, should be a marker there, shouldn't there?
Ricky Norton's the greatest guard, maybe shooter, come out of Arkansas.
I will call my contacts at the Clark County Historical Association and tell them we want a Ricky Norton boyhood home marker in Oklahoma.
That's a great idea. Two great Ricky basketball players, Ricky Norton and Ricky Medlock
from
Cave City.
Both great shooters, yeah.
Both great shooters.
Both from small town Arkansas.
That's exactly
too.
Right.
Yeah.
Ricky was 6'1", maybe 6'2", mm-hmm. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But a fantastic high school basketball player.
Absolutely. So we hit the two skirmish locations, one at Ternowar Creek, one at one there near Oklahoma, just outside of Oklahoma. And then we worked our way from Clark County into Nevada County and made our way through the Pine Woods down to Elkins Ferry. But on the way, we were attacked by a helicopter.
I've never seen anything like it. Yeah, it was where, you know, this is the end of the line when you're on this road.
Oh, it is. It is a rural road down to Elkins Ferry.
Stops at the river.
Let me assure you, yeah.
Where the crossing and the battle happened. But, yeah, we top a little rise, and I saw helicopters come flying over like 10 feet. What in the world? Well, he was spraying weeds and trees.
Spraying the young pine trees, yeah.
And then we saw the
refueling truck.
Refueling truck, and as we were turning, we rounded the curve, and the helicopter's sitting on top of the truck, refueling, reloading with the chemicals. Unbelievable.
And how many seconds did he tell us he could refuel that helicopter?
He said 35 seconds or something like
that.
It was less than a minute.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like that.
So we went down to Elkins Ferry, where there was pretty good size engagement there. And, of course, that is on the Little Missouri River. And, like you said, it's really out in the woods, and it's quiet when you get down there.
Very quiet. And Rex, that's a really successful effort on behalf of the County Historical Society. And really, Mark Crist deserves the credit. The society now owns that land.
Mm-hmm.
They negotiated it, and the Civil War Battlefield Trust gave the majority of the money, but they still had to raise it, and the landowner helped them. And it's really a remarkable story that so they now own that,
mm-hmm.
and then the next step will be some interpretation. That'll take more time and money, but the battlefield site is preserved, which is what's important.
Oh, absolutely. And we went from there into Prescott, and another piece of land they own is Prairie Deanne, which basically, we talked about how quiet Elkins Ferry was. Prairie Deanne sits right on Interstate 30. But again, because there are thousands of vehicles passing there today, tremendous potential for people to stop with a visitor center they plan
right
to
off
open.
I-30. And you know, the prairie site there, so you know, this battle took place in, you know, March and May of 1864. That prairie site looks sort of the way it did then. It's just a remarkable site. You can see the lay of the land that's probably, I don't know, a mile across, would you say, Rex,
mm-hmm.
to the high ground over
mm-hmm.
there. If you read the accounts of the battle, both the action reports and the diaries that people like Mark have annotated, they describe it. You can see exactly what they're talking about and can imagine what happened there. But that's a great, and again, another landowner, whose name is it, Bale family, or what is the name of the family, Rex, that donated
The Hale
family.
Mm-hmm. The Hale family.
Sold it for about half price
from
the Civil War Trust, and they're about have enough money to purchase that, which will protect both of those really important sites.
Both of those sites, yeah, absolutely. It's really neat. So we hit the one on the creek, we hit the one at Okolona, then we went to Elkins Ferry, then we went to Prairie de Anne. Then we worked our way toward Camden to Poison Spring, which, of course, is technically a state park. Do you realize we had hit five Civil War locations before lunch?
Before lunch, yeah. Which is,
that's getting after it.
That was some Civil War expediting, I would say. Yeah. And Poison Spring is a really, I mean, it may be the smallest state park. I don't know. There's not a whole lot there, but some interesting interpretation.
Well, you know, they've got at Jenkins Ferry near Sheridan, at Mark's Mill near Fordyce, and those are all state park facilities, and Poison Spring. So they're all three small, but they kind of commemorate in the state park system.
Right.
The Red River Campaign and the Camden Expedition was part of the larger Red River Campaign.
And of course, the opening scene of the movie Lincoln is at Jenkins Ferry. And
they mention it, yes.
And they're hollering, instead of remember the Alamo, remember Poison Spring, because mm-hmm. of what happened there, the atrocities that occurred there.
Exactly.
It's a great site, though. Really interesting place.
So we work our way into the old Washita River port city of Camden, and we go to the Betts House, which was built before the Civil War, as the Graham House. And, of course, we always come back around to food on this show.
Wow.
And that was as good of an Arkansas country lunch as I've ever had.
Fantastic.
David Strickland ate so much, I was almost embarrassed.
I was completely embarrassed. He made the comment that you'll hear people, I don't really like purple hull peas. You had like five helpings of purple hull peas. I got one, that was all that's left, one little bit for me.
Now, don't let me forget anything. We had fried chicken.
Yes.
Purple hull peas. Greens, and it was a mixture of turnip greens and collard greens and mustard greens.
Right, with bacon fat.
I think he called it the South Arkansas Trinity or something like that, didn't he?
Right, yeah, right.
With three kinds of greens mixed together.
Mashed potatoes
and gravy.
Biscuits.
Homemade biscuits. Homemade rolls.
Homemade rolls, oh my goodness. It was just...
And dessert still came after all was said.
And we had corn, didn't we have corn? We had corn.
Oh yeah, and corn.
We had corn, sweet corn.
It was Esau, sweet corn from Southeast Arkansas.
It was Esau, yeah.
Yeah, that had sliced off the cob there in the kitchen. My goodness.
You know those scenes in the National Geographic movies where the lions have captured the zebra and the plains of the Serengeti and like nine of them are just, that's what we looked like.
Yeah, we did. The
no talking, well, just.
Again, it had been a rough morning. We had been to five Civil War sites in one morning.
And we had sweet tea.
Yeah.
It was all just fantastic.
Oh, yeah. And a great old house.
Wonderful old house.
The Betzes have redone.
Just a museum, yeah.
Yeah.
It's full of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Full of stuff.
I'd hate to be the person in charge of dusting.
Yeah.
It'd be a lot of work. There are a lot of things.
Yeah. I had always noticed that house. Now, we had, of course, been in McCullum Chittister House, which is another famous one right down the street. But I'd always noticed that Graham Betts House all my life. You know, I grew up in Arkadelphia, by the way, like you did
really?
In Embo.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so college?
We would go to Camden on a regular basis for athletic events.
And it has the...
And I have admired that house.
Like
it's got
the heart-shaped.
Yeah. So it's very unique architecture on the front porch. But it was my first time ever to go in it. So that was a real thrill.
Well, I had never heard of what they showed us. Evidently, the original lighting was carbide lamps, and they... Evidently, the basement was full of carbide, and they'd pour water to generate...
Sounds dangerous to me.
Incredibly dangerous. I remember carbide lamps that you would hunt with.
Yeah.
You know, you'd spit in them, and they'd create the gas and have a flame. But not the whole house. It just looked like an explosion waiting to happen.
Well, somehow it worked, because the house has survived, and there are some beautiful old houses at Camden. Camden has lost population in recent years since International Paper closed its plant more than a decade ago, and it's kind of... struggled economically, but it is an amazing historic town history.
Yeah, it really is. And when you drive through downtown, which is not as vibrant at all, as it used to be, you can see at one time what Camden was.
Still some good restaurants, though, there. We ate in a house, of course, but you talked about on previous expedition. Woods Place has some of the best fried catfish in the state.
Rex, they have fried green beans. They
batter Woods Place.
Mm-hmm. And fry the green beans. So. Mm-hmm. You don't like your vegetables cooked crisp, batter them and fry them in hog fat, and they'll eat.
I spoke a couple of years ago at a banquet in Forest City, Paul, and Woods was catering it. So obviously he'll go all over the state. It's a long way from Camden to Forest City, let me tell you.
By the way, Rex, when I was speaking at the Rotary at Wynn, I talked about barbecue places. I told about our adventure in Blytheville.
Yes.
And I said, of course, you're right next. You can go to Craig's. You can go to Jones. I said, and the new place for me that I love, thankfully, is Cypress Corners. So when the president got ready to dismiss everyone, he said, well, I didn't know whether I was going to trust you boys to know what you're talking about. But since you mentioned Cypress Corner, I knew you were real. So.
Yeah, because you got to be going there. Yeah,
going there.
Cypress Corner, near the little community of Lexham, between Mariana.
Barbecue.
And in fact, it's funny you should mention that, because I had two different people today say they were going to a football game at Barton and wondered where they could eat an early supper. And it closes, I think, at 5 o'clock.
Oh,
so I said,
yeah,
get over there really early, and then you can go in Helena and fool around for a while. But get over there by 4:30 at least and eat at Cypress Corner. So I just happened to tout it to two different people today.
So they're getting some getting some promotion.
Yeah, because it's just a few miles north of the Barton football field.
Yeah.
Which, of course, sits right there on the highway, a historic facility itself, since you and I remember at one time when Barton had the longest high school winning streak in the country at one point.
Who was the old coach something there?
Games.
Frank
McClellan.
Frank McClellan, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Frank McClellan at Barton High School.
Well, they can't stop at Shadden's anymore, unfortunately.
No, it's long gone.
Long gone. But Cypress Corners, I mean, it's getting a really good reputation.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, it's not as old as these others. How long has it been there, Rex, would you say?
I don't know how long it has been a restaurant. It was originally a country store, which you can tell by looking
tell,
at it.
Yeah.
And like a lot of these places, through the years, they just started serving more and more prepared food and moved out more shelves and moved in more tables because that's where more of the business was. Although they still have a few items on shelves, you notice, that you
sure
can
do.
Buy.
Someone
you
said,
come in and get your sandwich and still get a few items.
It may have
there.
Been you that you can tell the quality of the barbecue joint by how rusty the pig sign is out front.
They've got a rusty old pig that hangs out front. Yeah. Got the smokehouse right next door.
Yeah.
And there's no sign.
No sign.
That says Cypress Corner. You really have to just look for it.
And like Craig's, you can get a hot barbecue, and it's hot.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely hot.
Yeah. So the fellow that lives at Wynn now, was he originally from that area?
I don't know. He must, but he knew about it. He said, okay, that's a good barbecue. He said, I wasn't going to trust anything you said until you said you've been to Cypress Corner. I said, well, okay. But
well,
Rex,
he would have really been impressed if you'd have told him that we were two of the last people that ate at Kelly's, because when we came back from Memphis and ate a Sunday night dinner there, the announcement of their closing came within
a week or two weeks of us
eating there.
Yeah.
And the only reason we ate there is, of course, Interstate 40 was blocked, and we were lucky enough to be able to get off
parking
and go north
parking.
To parking. Yeah.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah. Yeah, that was one of – and the guy told me that, you know, it's a huge restaurant. So every club met there.
Oh, yeah, all the civic clubs. That's
and
what I was wondering.
He said there's really not a place
now.
With that much room.
So they're having to go to churches now.
But the place is for sale.
Well, I wish somebody would reopen it.
They're hoping that somebody will buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an absolutely classic old place.
How many Kellys are there? There's still one in Batesville.
It's Kelly White's, but it's still going, and that's the last one.
I think that's it, yeah.
I mean, Ball Knob closed a few years ago. Newport closed
quite a while ago. Yeah.
But again, we've talked about that. They used to be all over Northeast Arkansas.
Yeah, sure did.
And
I don't know where they actually started. Do you?
I think they started there in Batesville, I want to say, but
Batesville,
I'm not for
Newport,
certain.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
Or maybe Newport.
It may have been, Kelly's
but,
was famous.
The one in Batesville is the last one standing, and the Kiwanis Club still meets there because I spoke a few months ago to the Kiwanis Club.
If you remember, this one in Wynn is huge.
Oh, yeah. Massive restaurant for a town that
lot
size.
Of and the guy that I was visiting with that invited me to speak, he thinks a restaurant can go there. He thinks the owners just got tired of doing it and didn't want to do it anymore and just going to sell it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, while you were in Northeast Arkansas on a Thursday, I was in Northeast Arkansas on the day before. I spoke, and this was fun since we've been to so many of them. I spoke to the annual meeting of all the state park superintendents.
Oh, yeah.
And where they were meeting was the new suites level of Centennial Bank Stadium at Arkansas State University.
No kidding.
Which is gorgeous.
Really
I've got to
nice.
Tell you, as an ASU graduate, you would be proud.
I need to find somebody to invite you that's got club seats or suites.
Well, history
professors at ASU don't have the good connection.
No, not to get up there. It is first class. It's like something you would see at an SEC school. It really is.
Which is why, Rex, it's going to be harder to get ASU to Little Rock to play a football game, isn't it?
They've got that facility
they
now.
They want to
use it as much as they can.
Yeah.
But I still think that would be a good move for them just from a statewide publicity standpoint, because the problem that they have always had from a media standpoint is their largest major media market is Memphis, and they don't care anything.
Right.
Really about Northeast Arkansas, right. Especially ASU sports. And Little Rock's just a little too far to really send anybody.
Right.
The Little Rock stations, they won't drive that 2 hours. But especially leaving, I left from downtown with the roads finished now. You can pretty much be from downtown Little Rock to Jonesboro in 2 hours.
In 2 hours.
Now.
That's real easy to do. Because it's four lane all the way now.
Oh, yeah.
All the way. You
don't
even slow down.
But we had a great time, and I visited with all the state park superintendents, and I told them, Paul, because we have been checking, I told them that I had it on good authority that if they, in their gift shops, sold the book from Butler Center Books, Southern Fried by Rex Nelson, it would improve attendance levels, it would improve revenue, it would improve efficiency at their state parks. And I told them, some of you have it and some of you don't, because we've checked to the number of state parks.
That's right. And anecdotally, I would say that attendance is a massive improvement.
Yeah.
Because the Butler Center Books, of course, has a wonderful reputation.
Yeah.
For publishing really first-class Arkansas-focused books.
Yes, you did almost embarrass me up on, I guess it was at the beautiful visitor center up atop Mount Magazine when you pulled the book out and told the girl that there was a great blurb on the back. And she just looked and kind of, who is this silly old man?
What's a blurb and who's this guy?
Exactly. What's he talking about? What is this book we're trying to sell over there?
But they did have it, didn't
they? Yeah, they did have it on top of Mount Magazine. Unlike, as we've noted on this show before, not that it's a thorn in my side, but unlike historic Washington State Park, where the shelves were just full of boring old Civil War books by Tom DeBlack and Mark Criss.
Yeah,
they didn't even have room for it there.
Because nobody's buying them. Exactly why. Enough with the Civil War. Who argued with who?
Yeah,
of course, now Washington is sort of close to Nashville, so there's that weird Nashville.
That's why they
scooters.
Have all those.
What do they call the scooters? I never can remember.
The
what
scrappers.
Scrappers,
yes,
that's what I meant.
That's why they have all those DeBlack books on the shelf, I guess.
they're not moving them at all.
They just were not moving. What a shame. Well, our Civil War expeditions have been quite fun.
Well, Rex, now don't forget we saw Fort Lookout in Camden, too.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to forget that.
Wonderful.
We digressed, as we often do,
and somehow
ended up in East Arkansas after being
eating
in South
barbecue.
Arkansas at Camden. But, yes.
Now, was that your first time to see Fort
Lookout?
It
was, to walk in
it's
there.
Really amazing,
I've been going to Camden all my life, but you have to go back through the woods. And, boy, you can picture the work that was done on the high spot, which overlooks the Washita River.
A big bend in the river.
Yeah.
And in the winter, when the leaves are gone, you can really see why that was a valuable location. But that thing has got redoubts that are probably 30 feet high.
Oh, amazing.
And gun pits that circle this redoubt that's maybe 60 by 80. I mean, it's a huge old fort. And I guess they built three of them, I think, in Camden. And then there's one at Tate's Bluff.
On the Washita River also, yes.
Which is also just a great site.
Yeah.
It's so remote that it's been preserved. And this is wonderfully preserved still. But now the County Historical Society owns the land.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have plans of doing some walking decks around it so it won't disturb the site. But you can still get a sense of, you know, what it looked like there.
Yeah. But
really a remarkable place. Fort Lookout.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Beautiful, beautiful area. And, you know, we ate so much at lunch and we spent so much time at Camden. We finally just had to mark Mark's Mill and Jenkins Ferry off the list in that
well,
day.
Well, plus, Rex, you had to do some weird thing you do with calling football
That
games.
Was my dress rehearsal.
Dress rehearsal.
Washita opening night was the next night. We didn't want any mistakes on the broadcast.
Now, was Dr. Root there? Was the
he
whole
was
team
there?
There?
He was there. The whole team was there.
Now, do you have
thank you
fraternity
for
boys dressing up as players so you can?
No, no, no. We testing equipment.
I see. Okay, I want to make sure.
Testing equipment. Yeah. So
that was the day before because
we had moved the season opener up a day because of hurricane remnants coming into the state. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I can't remember. You probably could have played the game, couldn't you?
As it turned out, we could have, but it worked out perfectly because the temperatures had cooled off. You know, it was interesting this year in that it was so cool that night. I commented and jinxed us that I never remember an opening football game being this nice, this cool. It felt like October. And, of course, after the next three games in September, I was just wet. September was a lot hotter month than August was.
It sure was,
Yeah,
it really was, yeah.
I was just soaking wet after the next three.
Well, and while we didn't get to go to Jenkins Ferry and Marks Mills,
we've all been before.
We've been there. And the plan was we'll drop you off at Arkadelphia, and then we'll go back to those. But by the time we dropped you off, it's like
you were tired,
exhausted.
And you were full from that big lunch.
Let's get home, yeah. I needed a nap.
Yeah.
So we made it back. But that means Jenkins Ferry, Marks Mills would be great for a trip to Pine Bluff and have lunch at Grider Field.
Yeah.
Catfish
where
Steak.
I told you I
you
was
finally
recently.
Did it, didn't
you? Oh, it was
a great
wonderful
buffet.
At the airport in Pine Bluff.
At the airport, yeah.
You don't have to be flying in or flying out of there. They're not commercial service anyway, but you want to eat there if you're down
it's
that way.
It's a great buffet and wonderful burgers you order from the menu.
Well, I wouldn't even try a burger because there's too much good stuff on the lunch buffet.
Catfish steaks.
Soul food,
It's really good.
Yeah, Grider Field.
So that'll be another trip.
Maybe that gets our award as best restaurant food in Arkansas. Definitely has to.
I think you may be right.
Restaurants aren't usually known for that. I mean, airport restaurant
airport
food.
Airport restaurant.
Best airport. Airports aren't usually known for their food.
Well, I would say it beats Adams Field.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my take right off
the
bat.
So the award goes to Grider Field.
Grider Field.
We have officially given the award here.
Now we
need
might
to start
need to,
our own Chewing the Fat Awards. Maybe.
I think we need to do that.
It could be a black tie event before all is
CTF.
Said and done. Yeah.
I can envision a nice barbecue sandwich in bronze as sort of the
exactly.
as the trophy.
Well, Grider Field wins for best airport food in Arkansas.
And like
it is a judging panel of two, and you've just heard
right.
the
and,
heard the discussion.
And just so we're clear, like the basketball coaches, we can be bribed.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely we can be.
Yeah.
Or to use the old line by Congressman Tommy Robinson, I can't be bought, but I can be rented for a while.
<That's>
right. There you go. We could be rented for a while.
We could be rented, yeah.
Now, I was back down that way. We're talking about our Camden expedition. I was back down that way the next week because I had been invited by the good folks from Arkansas State University to speak after lunch at the Johnson Family Reunion and the 10th anniversary of the restoration of the Lakeport Plantation, another of our favorite places.
Yes, great place, An ASU institution.
Yes. They're furthest south of their Delta Heritage sites, and it's just a great place. And there were Johnsons back from, I think, 7 or 8 different states and Canada.
No kidding.
Back for
how
that.
How many people were there?
Probably 50, 60,
so
maybe.
So a full house for the...
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Was the cotton ready yet?
Now, we mentioned Professor DeBlack. He spoke that morning.
Oh, good.
And I had the unenviable task of being the after-lunch speaker. And lunch was Rhoda's hot tamales along with macaroni and cheese. So everybody was getting a little sleepy. So I kept it short and very loud. So try to keep them awake during my talk.
Well, I heard good reports on all the presentations.
Yeah. It was a fun day.
Sounds like it.
It was.
Now, was the cotton ready to be picked? Or
not yet. It's about there now. Yeah. But Labor Day weekend, it was a little early still. The leaves had not turned. They were still green, even though you could clearly see the cotton bowls on there. But that makes – I've seen people this week posting on social media. That's just a classic Delta photo when you've got the cotton all the way around the house and that new Greenville Bridge in the background, which is a great bridge.
I was down there last year for something while the cotton was white. It just looked like snow. It was just, you're right, it's just a gorgeous. I had plans to go, I think maybe last Saturday, and then we got had conflicts and couldn't go. But it turns out it's not open on Saturday.
Yeah,
which is I'm calling Chuck. As you open it on Saturday.
Well, this was a Saturday event, but it was a special event. Yeah. And we had, you know, I wrote a column about it, and I said it was really interesting because, as I've talked about on here before, the thing I love about the Delta is that rich cultural mix that you really didn't have in a lot of other parts of Arkansas.
Next time, see you next month.
All right.
You've been listening to Chewing the Fat with Rex and Paul on Radio Cows, a production of the Central Arkansas Library System, its Arkansas History Department, the Butler Center for Arkansas Studies, and the Cows Communications and Public Relations Department. For more information, please visit cows.org and butlercenter.org. Our producer is Glenn Whaley. Production manager is Shelley Stormo, voices by Jasmine Job and John Miller. Engineering and editing by Anna Lancaster and Shelley Stormo. Our executive producers are Leanne Blackwell-Hoskin and David Strickland.
This is KABF in Little Rock, 88.3, the voice of the people in Central Arkansas.